Welcome back. All right, remember, this is still Ask the Pastor. Our team still remains 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm Brother Gosin Chukwebukauba, and with me, as always, is our beloved pastor, as Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom. Welcome back.
God bless you, sir. Okay. Shalom, sir. In the prison ministry, can a sister baptize other women if they will not allow our brothers to do so? That is first question. Okay. First Timothy 2 verse 12 only speaks of authority over the man. Okay. Still the same question. He's saying, in prison ministry, can a sister baptize other women if they will not allow our brothers to do so?
They will allow. Such a situation will not. If they will allow you to enter the prison and preach at all, they will allow you to baptize.
Based on the scripture he quoted, I believe he's referring to sisters baptizing women that are in prison.
No, when it comes to salvation, there are certain jobs that are meant, you know, for certain, you know, offices. Certainly.
Okay, so Brother Jesus David, you've gotten the answer to that question. All right, we have this other question from Brother Osita from Kano State, Nigeria. It says, Shalom, Pastor Moses and Brother Ebuka. Please, I want to clear my doubts. Is there anything like miracle money whereby a prophet can tell you to raise up your phone in the church for a miracle alert? Because I know that God is a miracle working God, as we see going on in many churches today. Shalom, this is Brother Osita from Kano State, Nigeria.
Is there anything that God cannot do?
There's nothing God cannot do.
If there are some things that God cannot do, then that question will be relevant.
Mm.
Miracle is miracle.
Mm.
If raising your phone and then an alert from somewhere comes in when you are not expecting it, that's a miracle.
Mm.
But it must come from someone anyway. So whatever it is, when it's a miracle, is a miracle.
Mm.
If God can bring the dead back to life, that's a serious miracle.
Okay.
And Joshua told the sun to stand still. The sun stood
and the moon,
still.
Yeah.
If the water of a sea can pass, and then people, you know, pass through, and in the wilderness, manna was coming from heaven.
Mm.
So why are you doubting that God can give miracle money? God can give miracle money.
Okay. Then further to that question, I now want to push forth a question.
Yes.
Beginning from the angle of the wilderness journey, the manna that fell. So the question I was asking, from the angle of the manna, could a miracle actually be God wanting to test the individual?
Well, there are different reasons why miracles. I preach a message that I titled, Why the Miracles?
Yes.
So it is to call your attention to the reality of God, and you're expected to respond appropriately. Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 told them, when they were looking for him after he turned, he fed thousands of them with five loaves of bread.
Yes.
And the next day they were looking for him. He said, you are not looking for me because of the miracle, but because of the bread you ate. That means the miracle is supposed to make you look for him, not only when you are hungry.
Okay.
You know. But I guess this question is coming up because of the controversial miracle money by Apostle Suleiman.
Yes, yes.
The reason this come up is because we are in a season where a lot of make-believes, lot of stage shows, a lot of fake miracles, a lot of abracadabra, all in the name of packaging.
Yes.
So sometimes the Christianity has been so invaded by all this nonsense going on until when God performs his own miracle, which these people are impersonating, there is a tendency not to accept it because you can't even know easily whether this is real or this is fake, you know. And I was only surprised at the reaction of Apostle Suleiman.
Okay.
You know, a prophet does not argue his prophecy.
Mm.
And if I'm not the one that did it, you know, it is God that did it. You are not fighting me, you are fighting God.
Oh.
A miracle took place and they called the apostles and they were bashing them.
Yeah.
You are bashing them. The man is walking there. You are seeing it.
Yes.
You know, a man was born blind, and then Jesus Christ, you know, healed him. And then you are fighting the Sanhedrin Council, you are fighting the parents. What are you saying? Go. All he's saying is that, well, I know I was once
blind, but now I see.
You don't defend yourself. Apostle Solomon, you know, had to involve the law for the criticism that followed. And he got angry. And I was really wondering, why is the young man getting angry? Because administration that took place, I mean, a miracle that took place during his ministration, you know, is being criticized. If Apostle Suleiman knew his scripture, that is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. If the people are doing it ignorantly, that's okay. You even pray for them. Instead, what you should do is, you know, do more. Ask God to vindicate you by more, even more intense miracles. Not just that, you know, let real miracle let it take place. So I was really wondering why Apostle Suleiman got angry, got the police, they arrested the man, went up to all that length, and then I even went making comment that bloggers are using his name and things like that. We are public figures, so knowing we are public figures, they should help us check the way we go about our ministries to minimize such caricature they do with us and all the kind of reactions they have from our ministry. Nobody that is anointed will speak against anointing. No gifted person will speak against a gift like that, you know. It's evidence that they don't understand. So remember that God didn't call us to be performing miracles. So let nobody brag on any miracle. God didn't call us to go and perform miracle. He call us to preach the word. So you go up, preach the word. If God backs it like he backed the apostle with miracles, signs, and wonders, praise God. It is to vindicate what we are preaching. So concentrate on it, and people's lives will be affected, not by alert, but their relationship with God. The alert they receive is to let them know the reality of God. They alert money in their account and things like that. But we also know that it can be staged by charlatans. And I pray that you didn't stage your own, Suleiman. So push on with your ministry and stop being distracted by all these funny people.
All right. God bless you. All right, so we have a call, and this is coming from Sister Victory. Sister Victory from Kwara State. God bless you and shalom. Please go on with your question, Sister Victory.
Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity you gave to us. We are so grateful.
Okay.
So I want to ask a question from the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 14.
Yes.
At the last age, they said, which was wounded by a sword and did live. Hello, sir.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 14.
He said, which was wounded by sword and did live.
Yes.
When was that beast wounded, sir? That is number one question. No, I have three questions from that verse. Second question, okay. By who was that beast wounded?
Yes.
The third one. When we go out for an evangelism, they will ask, the sword there, we know that is the word of God. But where can we find it in the Bible? Which Bible chapter can confirm it?
That what?
That the sword this there is the word of God.
Okay, you find it in Ephesians chapter 6.
And my first question comes from the book of Daniel chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 26.
Yes.
When was that city destroyed? Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, let me answer the questions. Her first question is
from Revelation chapter 13, verse 14.
13, verse 14.
Start from 11.
From verse 11.
From verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him.
The power of the first beast before him, and that is the beast out of the sea that we see from verse 1. Yes.
And caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast.
Worship that first beast.
Whose deadly wound was healed.
Now he had a wound. Okay.
And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
Verse 14.
And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beasts which had the wound by a sword and did live.
Now,
so the first question is, when was it wounded? And by whom was it wounded?
Yes. When he was wounded through the Reformation.
Okay.
When Luther came out and first Catholicism, that is when the beast was wounded. Mm-hmm. It was wounded, yet it lived.
Mm-hmm.
Because Catholicism still continued, you know, but it was wounded. But later on, it was healed, because it is still from there that the Son of Perdition will come up.
Mm-hmm.
By who? Mm-hmm. By Luther, by the Reformation.
Okay.
So now, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17.
Yes. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 17.
That is the sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another scripture. I think that should be Hebrews chapter 4.
Hebrews 4 verse 12.
Yes.
For the word of God is quick and powerful.
Yes, that's
and right. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
okay,
and of the joints and marrow, and it's a designer of the thoughts.
So that is where you get it.
Okay.
Now, Daniel 9:26.
Yes, Daniel 9:26.
Let's read it again.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And it says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city,
yes,
and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So our question is, when was the city destroyed?
Yeah, of course. The city is Jerusalem. I want to give it a scripture.
Okay.
Now, in Luke chapter 21.
Okay.
You can read all that scripture. The city is the city of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And that scripture was fulfilled in AD 70,
yeah,
according to church history.
Yeah.
General Titus from Rome.
Yeah.
That is where he said, the people of the prince that shall come, they came from Rome and they destroyed that city, Jerusalem, and they led west. And that was to fulfill the prophecies and various scriptures Christ himself prophesied, because they rejected him.
All right, so we got the answer to those questions. So we go on to the questions as they come in. And this is from River State, Nigeria. Sister Real from Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria. Say, Shalom, sir. My question is in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Does it mean that when a devoted Christian falls or commits sin, he can't be forgiven?
I think we have answered a similar question.
Person is definitely following us, so yes, she needs maybe more clarification.
Say devoted Christian,
yes,
according to, she's quoting the same scripture.
Same scripture, yes.
That scripture is for those who have not yet received the Holy Ghost.
Okay, yes, it has to do with the
that's
anointing.
That's why I said I have answered
yes.
And you are not a Christian until
you have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and it's not your devotion, how devoted you are, that makes you a Christian, but by the spirit that is in you. That spirit in you is the one that will make you never to go back to your vomit.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Sister Real from Port Harcourt. So that clarifies that question for you. So we have other questions coming, and this is from Cameroon. Brother Gilbert from Cameroon says, good evening, Pastor Moses. Shalom, sir. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ fasted for days. And question one, sir, why did Jesus have to fast before starting his ministry? That's the first question.
Well, first and foremost, you have to know why we fast.
Okay.
When you get to know why we fast, then you will understand why Jesus Christ fasted. Secondly, Jesus Christ came to show us the way, the way to do everything, including the way to begin a ministry.
Okay.
You don't just enter into it without preparing for it. Knowing what is ahead, he had to equip himself. It is not just about fasting, abstinence from food.
Okay.
It was for spiritual rejuvenation.
Okay.
And within that period, he was equipping his spirit man with all that would be needed to face the great work that was ahead of him.
Okay.
And so spiritual preparation certainly go with fasting. So when you get the benefit of fasting, then you will know why Jesus Christ fasted.
Okay.
And there are a lot of benefits.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So question two from Brother Gilbert from Cameroon. Question two says, sir, does it mean if someone is called by God, he must fast before starting his ministry? This has been answered.
I've just answered.
With listen.
So it will help you.
Yes. All right. So we have other questions coming. And this is saying, Shalom, sir. This is Brother Matthias from Lagos. Please, I would like to ask, according to Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, Daniel 10, verse 13, is it that the prince of Persia was stronger than the angel until there was need for Michael to help?
Yes, because Daniel was under the covenant sealed with the blood of an animal.
Okay.
But now, we're under a superior blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That's the difference.
Okay.
That's why he said, among men born of women, John the Baptist, none has been greater than John the Baptist. He said,
well, is the least but in the least kingdom.
In the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Mm. Why? Because John the Baptist was under a different covenant, a lower covenant that we are in. So the angel could stop it, but now when the time is given, we are given a name. Daniel was not given that name. At the mention of that name, every knee bows. We have access to the throne of grace. The veil has been removed. Therefore, no hindrance again. The only thing that will hinder you now will be your sin, according to Isaiah 59 and so many other scriptures. God bless you.
All right. So other questions definitely coming. Other questions are coming in. This is Brother George from Ghana. Brother George, nice having you again. Say, sir, please, is it advisable to see people do what is not right and keep quiet, or you should rather confront them to let them know their fault? Brother George from Ghana.
Well, it depends on what you mean when you say people. That's the reason we preach the gospel, is to let the people know that there's a better way to live their lives than what they live. So that's why I say it depends. Or are you talking of judging the people?
Okay.
There is a judgmental way, and there is an appealing way for them to live better life.
Okay.
But within the church, it said, cursed be he that keepeth back the sword. The Bible says so. It's expected that you be like Phinehas, who did what he did, killed those people that were messing up the camp, and God blessed him and his generation. So when you refuse to check what is wrong around you, God will also hold you liable within the church. And outside the church, among the unbelievers, we are to shine the light and preach the gospel. That is fishing, that you go with all the tricks and not by condemnation. God bless you.
All right, so God bless you, Brother George from Ghana. So as we have other questions coming in, okay, we have a caller, Sister Gladys from the UK. Sister Gladys, God bless you.
Shalom, shalom, Pastor Moses.
Shalom, Sister Gladys, good to hear you.
Yes, sir. Sir, I have a question. Matthew 24, 36. Mark 13:32.
So Matthew 24:36, right?
Yes, please.
And Mark,
what is your question there?
Mark 13:32.
Okay.
Yeah, it says that no one knows the hour that the Son will be coming back.
Yes.
Even the angels. But now, the Bible is still saying that Christ is still God. So if he's saying that no one knows the hour,
yes,
how is it not contradicting him
being God?
Now, I want you to read verse 36 again. What does it say?
He said, but about that hour or hour, no one knows.
He said,
not even the angel in heaven.
Yes, he said, no man. No.
Yeah.
Not even the angels of heaven, but my father only. Correct?
Okay, but the father is the son as well.
No. The father is in the son.
Okay.
Does that answer your question now?
Yes.
For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Gladys. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we have other questions coming in, and the Lord gives us grace. The answers will keep coming. Okay, Sister Sophia from Nasarawa State, Nigeria says, good evening, sir. Please, is USA the daughter of Babylon? If yes, please, where in the scriptures? Sister Sophia from Nasarawa State.
USA is not the daughter of Babylon. Okay, no scripture.
No scripture.
So where did you get USA, the daughter of Babylon? You to give us where you saw it. It's not in the Bible, so no need to give you some scripture. Yes. USA is not the daughter of Babylon. Maybe it is the way she put the question. Because in Revelation 17,
yes.
Maybe let's read Revelation chapter 17. Maybe that is where she's referring to.
Revelation 17.
Now, Revelation 17, that woman there that
yes,
had
talk about
daughters.
Daughters.
Yes.
Yes, and verse 5.
Yeah, verse 5.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
Now, if she's the mother of harlots, because we call her Babylon the Great. The Bible calls her Babylon the Great, and then she is a mother.
Mm.
So, you want to look at America as also the daughter of this harlot? No. This harlot here is a church, and her daughters are, in fact, the first church that denominated. All other denominations come out from her. Can you differentiate Anglican from Catholicism now in their appearance? Methodist in their appearance, and all these denominations, you know, it's the same thing. So they are the daughters. They came out from her in the Reformation. That is what you see here.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Sister Sophia. God bless you. So we have the question from Brother Isaac from Jaligo. It says, Shalom, sir, Bride of Christ Church is truly the ministry of restoration worldwide. But I haven't seen any white people from the Western world responding to this ministry. Are they not part of the move? Because most online members from Western world are Africans. That is Brother Isaac from Jaligo.
Well, I don't know too why the Westerners, what we call here white, are not yet with us here. But one thing I want to assure you is that we are not the only ones preaching the restoration ministry. I want to also call your attention to something. That is what Satan has succeeded in doing. I hope I will not be misunderstood, because sometimes I am tagged a racist. But truly, I'm not a racist. I'm a Christian. Just that I say it as I see it, and without anything more to it. Now, Christianity has been divided along racial lines. If you ever go to Europe, go to America, go outside Africa, and you go to any church, there is what they call African churches. If the pastor is an African, you will see largely there, the members there will be Africans. If you see any white person there, it is marriage that brought the white and the black together. So they are worshiping there. So if it is a white, you see all white church. You will even hear people saying the church I attend is a white church. The church I attend is a black church. That is what Satan has succeeded in doing. And secondly, before the white will accept anything from Africa and identify with it, it will take some real extra effort by God. Even technologically, if you invent anything here, they don't accept it. They will not use it.
You have to go there.
It must go there and be operated from there for them to even take a look at it. Or they will smuggle it and own it if you invent anything here. So it is nothing but racism, you know, in the Christian faith. But you notice that we, the blacks, I mean we, the blacks too, you know, we are suffering from colonial mentality, and the colonial hangover is still in us. If what God is using my ministry to do were a white man's ministry, the whole of Africa will go behind it. They will follow it up because it is a white man that, you know, is bringing out these revelations. You will hear people like Raymond Jackson. You hear people like, you know, all of them, you know, that brought this entire message from America. You hear of the one in Krefeld in Germany. Yeah. You even hear from Singapore, the man from Singapore. Yeah. And once you are white, Africans will follow you. I don't know. But if it is coming from Africa, no, no, no. They don't value anything that comes from here. Can't you even see that they prefer to buy imported things, use imported things than made in their own countries?
Mm.
They value it more than anything else. So that is what is reflected in the Restoration Ministry. But whatever it is, I'm not the only one preaching it. We are preaching it all over the world. There are people who believe it. For me, my audience is the black, and then thank God they are listening to me. The black Africans, they are listening to me.
So whites following also.
I believe there are whites that are following, but they won't come out. But it is thus said the Lord. Just note it. God told us he will do something that will cause their attention, and they will follow what we are teaching.
Yeah.
You will soon see them sitting down in Brother Assembly. Record this clip and keep it that I said it. Not long from now, you will see Asians sitting down in our program here. You will see Americans, North and South Americans, sitting down here, Canadians, Australians. You will see Indians sitting down here in our church auditorium.
Amen.
For now, they are watching like Nathaniel. Can any good thing come out of Africa? Yes, they will soon confirm that, yes, come and see. And they will come and see. After all, when TB Joshua was a blessed memory, God was using the miracles, using him in the area of the miracle they have not seen before. Caught their attention, they came to see. Very soon, something will happen that we also call their attention to come to see. So that is why my brother from Jalingo,
Brother Isaac. White,
Brother Isaac from Jalingo. But when God called you, he has the people he has sent you to. He sent Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. So the Jews rejected him. He sent him me to Africans. And so we may not expect too much of followership from the Europeans or the Westerners, the Oyibo, as we call them here, the whites. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Brother Isaac. God bless you, Brother Isaac, and our brother from Jalingo. Okay, we have this from Adamawa State, Nigeria. Brother Jolie, it's nice having your question once again. Says, Shalom, Pastor. May God Almighty bless you and increase you and your ministry. So I have three questions to ask. And question one is, why did God ask Moses to leave his father's household and go to somewhere else before he will use him? Moses, I think that should be Abraham.
That should be Abraham.
Yes. So it's asking, why would God tell him to leave his father's household and go somewhere
else? Yes, generally the gospel is come out of unbelief.
Amen.
That is what the gospel is. You have to be transformed. You have to leave one place for the other. You have to be placed in a position where God can truly deal with you without any distraction. You saw the distraction he had when he took Lot.
Yes.
So you have to leave. And the word of God, William Branham preaches a message, he said the word of God called for total separation. So it's total separation. You have to separate from your old lifestyle to be able to enter the new lifestyle.
Okay. Question two from Saint Person says, that means his father's household do not need Does it mean the father's household does not need the gospel of God?
They will get to hear it somehow.
Okay. Question three. Can God call someone from a particular church and use him in another church? Brother Joly from Adamawa.
He can call you from anywhere and use you wherever he leads you.
Okay.
For them that are led by the Spirit,
yeah, the sons of God,
he can lead you to anywhere. Mm-hmm. Can call you where and lead you anywhere, anywhere, including even your shrine of your father's house, to your village, to another church, to another ministry, to anywhere. He can use you anywhere.
All right. God bless you, Brother Joly from Adamawa State. Okay, we have this other question coming from Adamawa State as well. And that is Brother Raymond. Brother Raymond says, God bless you, Pastor Moses. And Brother Oba, we say, God bless you too. And amen. Please, is kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God the same in all application? Or are they different in some?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
The kingdom of God. A kingdom is a kingdom
that
is a domain with a king is a kingdom.
Yes.
So the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as kingdom of God. Of God.
Okay.
So know how it is used interchangeably like that. Okay. I know some arguments say kingdom of heaven is this church ages.
Yeah.
And kingdom of God is millennium. Yeah. It's the same thing.
All right. So God bless you, our brother from Adamawa State. So see, I have other questions coming in. Okay, this is from Ghana. Brother Eric from Ghana says, Shalom, Brother Moses and Brother Chukwuebuka. We say shalom to you, Brother Eric. Say, please, a cross at a place of worship that has an image and the one that has no image. Which one is which? I'm confused, sir, because these people claim they are teaching the truth.
No, why will you put an image on a cross? Jesus is no longer on a cross. So why are you putting an image there? You know, you don't put any image there on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
No. We just put the cross to symbolize, you know, because by way of the cross, Abraham blessing, you know, cross over to us.
Mm.
And it was at the cross, the price for redemption was paid.
Mm.
Our healing, our deliverance, our redemption totally at the cross. So the cross is a symbol. It's not to be worshipped. You don't bow before the cross.
Mm.
So don't put any image there because our Jesus is no more on the cross.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. All right. God bless you, our brother. Okay. So we still have other questions coming in. And this is coming in from, okay, the name is not yet there. And that is Shalom, Pastor. God bless you. According to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 1 to 37. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 31 to 36, David appointed the sons of Levi to lead in song service. Which scripture do you use to permit sisters to lead songs in a church service?
No. Now, I want you to note, first and foremost, we don't have Levites now.
Okay.
And when the Bible says we're a royal priesthood, does it include women?
Mm.
It is leadership of the church, the fivefold ministry we are talking about.
Okay.
That is exercising of gifts.
Mm.
That is exercise of gift. When they do that under the leadership of a pastor.
Okay.
And usually when that is going on, there is a man behind the pulpit.
Mm.
That is the order. That tells you that, you know, and we're talking of exercising of a gift. Mm. So when you say lead, you know, it's not teach. You know, we have to, don't be so legalistic until you catch gifts because somebody is a woman.
Mm.
No. Each time that sister is leading the songs, she's in worship, there is a man there. He's actually the one leading it, directing things to be done. After he tells her when to stop, when to sing.
Mm.
And so, nothing wrong with it. Mm. God bless you. It's exercising of a gift. Just like we allow sisters.
Mm.
When a sister comes and tells you, shout hallelujah.
Mm.
And she wants to give a revelation and she says, shout hallelujah.
Mm.
She's prophesying, saying all those under a man that is at the altar to show who is in charge.
Mm.
God bless you.
All right. Okay. Still on that, I think question two, yes. Question two says, Pastor, these two scriptures looks contributing or rather contradictory. I think that's what he's trying to say. Acts chapter 9, verse 7.
I'm going to ask you this question concerning the message you preach concerning fossil fuels.
Yes. He said, before Adam and other human beings have existed and were destroyed by God. I don't know if you got, if he got you right. This is Brother Anu from
What's the question again, please? Go back. Let's go back a little.
So he says, Pastor, these two scriptures loose.
Okay, let's read them.
Acts chapter 9, verse 7. And it says, and the men we saw, we journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts 9, 7. Then the second scripture,
Scripture is what?
Acts 22, verse... Okay, that was question three you were looking at. That is a different question. So Acts 22, verse 9. Okay, it says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they had not the voice of him that spake. So he's speaking about the experience
of Paul. And then the chapter 9 all said what?
Chapter 9.
They saw the light, they had...
They saw the light and they had no voice. Chapter 9, verse 7, rather. And the men we journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So this says they saw, they had a voice, but saw no man. But the other is saying they didn't hear anything.
So it looks contradictory.
So he says it looks contradictory.
When
so,
I read the scriptures like that, remember this thing is about narration and interpretation.
Yes.
It's not, you know, somebody narrating, giving a report on what was told. When I read such scriptures like that, I don't go in the details like this person asking the question goes.
Mm.
I try to understand what it meant. The important is that there was an experience that he had,
mm.
you know, on his way to Damascus,
okay.
that changed his life thereafter.
Okay.
But the narration, there are a lot of things that when they are narrated, it looks contradictory, but you get the picture of what they are portraying there.
Mm.
It will help you.
Okay.
And then what's the other one?
The third question, question three. Says a brother asked me this question concerning a message you preach concerning fossil fuels. He said, before Adam, other human beings have existed.
Okay. We said other forms of life.
Okay.
There were other forms of life that existed. Because when he says, let's look at it, Genesis chapter 1.
Okay.
Verse 27 and 28.
Genesis chapter 1, 27, 28 says, so God created man in his own image.
Verse 28.
And God blessed them, uh-huh. and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth.
When you use the word replenish, it means there was some... And then what was Adam to replenish? Was human beings.
No? Yes.
He was to reproduce human beings.
Yes.
So it means something was existing before, and then it was wiped away. Now, if you come to Genesis chapter 9, okay. verse 1.
Genesis chapter 9 from verse 1.
Now, after the flood wiped off all human beings on earth,
yes.
now it's left with only Noah and his family. What did he say?
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
So, if you ask Noah, before Noah...
Mm.
There were human beings
existing.
Mm. Yes, that's why he replenished.
Mm.
That's why I said some form of life were existing. Whether they are human beings or not is another thing, but certainly they were to be replaced. So it's possible they could be human beings.
Okay.
Yeah, go back on that question. Now he said something. A message you preach concerning fossil fuels. Yes. I didn't talk about fossil fuels.
Okay.
I talked about fossils.
Okay.
Not fossil fuels. I talk about fossils. God bless you. Okay. Fossil fuels is only part of other fossils. Fuel is just part of it. It was not fuel I was talking about, but other forms of fossils like bones. And the bone is not a fuel.
Yes.
Okay.
Before we take other questions, the pastor actually made some questions, but I don't know if somebody at home got that answer straight up that he was giving. He actually gave the answer, but so that you're sure that you got the answer clearly. Acts 9, verse 7, speaking about Paul's encounter. Sir, I would want you to actually make it clearer or very straight. Acts 9, 7. And the men we journeyed with him, Paul, meaning that someone was reporting the event.
Exactly.
Stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man.
Yes.
Now we see something in Acts 2:9 that it is not somebody reporting the event. Or I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I know that was what you were trying to say.
Go ahead.
So Acts 22, verse 9 says, and they that were with me, meaning Apostle Paul now was giving a testimony.
Exactly.
And which seems, if we go by that, does it mean he was correcting the report somebody else had given?
Well, what I try to explain is, somebody is looking at the accuracy of a narration.
Yes.
But I'm just looking at the fact that there was an encounter.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the narration, the presentation could be presented whichever way that looked contradictory. But I'm saying what you should pick from such, and that is how you read the scriptures generally, is the fact that there was an encounter that transformed him, changed him, and moved him away from the law, and then got him into the ministry. Okay. That is the encounter we are looking at. But whether they had or didn't see, they did not hear. It is all about a narration of the encounter, but there was an encounter
he had.
That's important thing there.
All right, so we trust that this clarifies everything for anyone who was probably stuck in between, or maybe confronts an atheist and is confused. Okay, we have a call. Brother Emmanuel from Akwa Ibom State. Brother Emmanuel from Akwa Ibom, God bless you.
God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. Please go on with your question.
Good evening, sir. God bless you, sir.
Yeah, God bless you. You're welcome, Brother Emmanuel.
Yes, sir. Sir, please, my question based on Genesis 32.
Yes.
When Jacob wants to go and meet his brother Esau.
Okay. Yes.
He will do everything to avoid attack from his brother.
Yes.
Okay.
So the question now, why God himself come down and fight with Jacob? And the reason of this question is that I believe God can also take such action with us now in another dimension.
I want you
and
to...
secondly, what? How Jacob knew he was fighting with God? Because of his statement there in verse 26 or 27. Why did he know that he was fighting with God? And why God himself come down and take such action with Jacob?
No, sorry, if I understand your question, please. God did not fight with Jacob. The Bible says Jacob wrestled with the angel. He wrestled with him because he would not let him go. He saw opportunity for his life that has been up and down to be changed. And he knew this was the only opportunity he had, and he held on to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And that is just a type of we Christians today that we will also, you know, it was an exercise of faith. That is what we do when we go fasting for our situations to change. Call upon God and cry until our situations are changed. That is what we do with fasting.
Brother Emmanuel?
Brother Emmanuel, are you clear?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Are you clear now?
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
All right.
God bless you, Brother Emmanuel. So we have other questions coming in. Okay, Pastor, Daddy, please, what will I do if my parents refuse me to get married because my father haven't paid my mother's bride price? And my mother is also complaining that he's an Igbo. I'm confused, sir, and they are delaying me. Thanks, Sister Glory.
Now, this is marriage question.
Marriage question. So, Sister Glory, you have to meet with the pastor later on.
Call personal and they will give you counsel, personal counsel.
Okay.
Because that is a traditional question.
Yes.
It's a traditional issue.
Yes. Okay, so this question now says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. I am Sister Blandin from Cameroon. Sir, I have heard a pastor saying that preaching the message of grace without grace, that you are a disgrace to that message of grace. Please, sir, I want you to clarify me, sir, because I did not understand him. Thank you, sir.
Shalom. Yeah, I agree with him, but maybe it's the way he's putting it. You know, if you are not converted, how can you preach the gospel of conversion. Okay. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses.
Amen.
So you only qualify to be a witness
when
you have received the power. You have not experienced the power.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to witness?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be a false witness. I believe that is a summary of that presentation.
Okay. All right. So God bless you. We'll take one more question and we'll call it a day. It says, good evening, sir. My name is Victor. Thank you for your humility, allowing God to use you in this end time. My question is, when one pays tithe from salary end at the end of the month, after that, when you start getting money from a wrong source, does it mean God is blessing you indirectly? Please clarify this for me as I am confused. This is Brother Victor.
It's not every blessing you receive that comes from God. Some blessings are supposed to be a test for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Christians. If you know a source is wrong, then why are you collecting
from it?
God bless you.
All right, Brother Victor and everybody at home, we call it a day, right? Here and it still asks the pastor, want to thank everyone who has been with us all through from the beginning up to now, including the Bright TV crew, everyone behind the scene. We call it a day here and we say shalom to the bride of Christ. Remain blessed, and it still asks the pastor.